All right, we continue our study through the Gospels. We've come to Luke chapter 12, verse 54. Tonight we'll take our text from there, Luke chapter 12, verses 54 through 59. If you find your place and you're able, would you stand with me, please? I want to remind you at the beginning of chapter 12, it says that there was a multitude, innumerable multitude of people, insomuch they began to trode one upon another and began to say unto his disciples, first of all. So he's primarily speaking to his disciples throughout this passage. There's a few interruptions and interjections along the way. But then tonight we come to verse 54, and I want you to notice it says, and he said also to the people. And so he's been speaking primarily to his disciples, but now he shifts his focus. I believe that they've been gathered around, trampling on each other, and many of them could hear what he said to his disciples, so it was broadcast. But now he focuses his attention to the people who have gathered around, not his disciples. And he says, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee that thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Our Father in heaven, please bless your word tonight. Help me to preach exactly as you'd have me to. Pray you convict our hearts. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be responsive and obedient to the word tonight. Give us the diligence that we need to pay attention, and may your spirit move in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight we see discerning the time, understanding the time, and judging what is right. As the Lord has spoken to his disciples and to this group that's gathered about so many different things, talking about hypocrisy and all of the different things that he talked about. But we come down to this, and he talks about discerning the time, understanding the time, and judging what is right. Would you look back to verse 54 as he shifts his attention to all the people? He says to them, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. It's not any different for us here in Oklahoma. Today, when you see the weather change, primarily it comes from the west to the east. And you can know that if you see the high cirrus clouds up in the sky coming from the west, that here in a day or so, there will be a front come through. You can see the storms building up out in the west, and you know rain is coming. And he said, you can do that. You can see what's going on and judge rightly by looking at the clouds. You say a shower's coming, and as a matter, and then lo and behold, a shower comes. You see the south wind blow. You say the wind moves. It shifts from the north to the south, and you say it's going to be warmer. Heat's going to come. And certainly that's true for us here. As wind comes up from the south, it comes up from Mexico, comes up from Texas, and we get warmer air from the south. It's even more pronounced in that area of Jerusalem as you look to the south in those arid regions and all the heat that would come up from there. And he says, that's right. You can see these things. You can understand. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But did you notice in verse 56, the Lord calls these people hypocrites. He calls them hypocrites. How is it that you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but you don't understand? You cannot discern this time. I want you to notice with me a few things about this. And I think there's a great picture here. The Lord talks about a cloud, and I believe that the Lord uses these physical things to teach spiritual truths. And I think it's interesting when you think about the time that the Lord would warn about. We can think about Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30. In Matthew 24:29, the Bible says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. There's going to come the signs of the times. There's going to come the things that we see in the world. There's going to be wars and rumors of war. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be famines. And all these things are going to happen in the world. And it's all going to lead up to one thing. These signs are the signs of His coming. And He's going to come with the cloud. I think it's interesting that the Lord says, you see a cloud coming and you know rain's coming, but you see all the things that I'm telling you about. You see all the miracles that I've done. You've heard all of the things that I've taught, and you don't understand the time, that now it's time to repent. Now it's time to believe in me. It's important for us to understand the times. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 12 says, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of man of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. You know, the Lord gives us a lot of warnings about the time that we're in. He gives us a lot of warning, and He said, listen, you can discern the face of the sky. You can know what the weather's going to do based on what you see. You get a good prediction of what's coming. It's a foolish thing for us today to see the signs of the time and not be ready for the Lord's return. It's a foolish thing for us to watch the news and to see all the things going on. I mean, every day we see China, we see Iran, we see Israel, we see all of these nations that we know are part of these end-time events. We see wars and we hear of rumors of wars. There's earthquakes in diverse places. All of these things that the Lord told us would be in the last days. Now, we know these things have been going on and on, but we understand that He said it would be like the labor pains, that they would start out and they would be spaced out. They wouldn't be too bad, and they would be spaced out a while. But as the time gets closer, these things are going to get more intense and closer together. And that's exactly what we see in the world today. Yes, there's always been wars and rumors of wars. Yes, there's always been pestilence. There's always been famines. There's always been earthquakes. But it's getting more and more intense and closer together as the day approaches. So what does that mean for us? Well, listen, I want to remind you tonight that we ought to do more than sit at home and watch Fox News and get mad at the world. We ought to get up and do something for Jesus Christ. When we see these things, to be caught unaware means that we're sitting around doing nothing. What we need to be doing is busy. We need to be, of course, praying and studying the Bible and being faithful in church, but we need to be out warning people of the judgment to come. We ought to be out knocking on doors and sharing the gospel with others. We ought to be busy sharing the gospel with our classmates and our coworkers and our neighbors and our friends. We ought to be doing all that we can to give to missionaries and to help the work of the Lord. We ought to be busy doing what God has called us to do. He said, occupy till I come. Do business until I come again. But see, we read accounts like this, we look at those people and we say, well, the Lord was calling them hypocrites. But I want you to know that I believe that we are in danger of being found unprepared because we know the signs, we understand the signs, and yet we do nothing. Some of you watch the weather on a regular basis. I'm not one of those people. I usually figure out what it's going to be like when I get out there. It's not very smart, but that's what I do. I talked to a friend of mine the other day. He and his wife went up to Pawhuska to the Pioneer Woman's Place. How many of you know about that? How many of your wives want you to take them there? All right. Or they just go without you. Amen. Yeah, there you go. God bless you. He said that I left Muldrow. It was in the 80s. We drove through Tulsa, and the thing in my car said it was 61 degrees. We got out of the car at Pawhuska. It was 54 degrees. I said, well, that sounds awesome. He said, it would be, except I'm wearing shorts and a T-shirt. Now, some of you think that 54 degrees is short and T-shirt weather, but us normal people know that 54 degrees is jacket weather. Amen. Thank you. Listen, you don't know what's going on. You don't pay attention. You don't prepare. I mean, some of you bother to watch the weather. You know it's going to rain tomorrow, but you don't bother to take a rain jacket or an umbrella. What good has it done you? And listen, we look into the Word of God, we see these signs, and we still find ourselves unprepared. Friends, if we're not careful, we're going to be right there with the hypocrites. Found not watching, found not ready, found unfaithful. 1 Chronicles 12:32. I love this. It says, the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do. Isn't that good? Amen. And friends, it ought to be that we're in our Bibles and we are men and women who understand the times and we know what the church ought to be doing. And then we do it. God has called us not to just know what the Bible says, but to be doers of the Word. He's called us not to just teach people what Jesus commanded, but teach people to observe all that Christ commanded. And so, we need to understand the times. I think you ought to pay attention to the news. I think you ought to know what's going on in Israel. I think you ought to know what's going on in Iran and in Iraq, which is Babylon, and you ought to pay attention to what's going on with Russia. These places are key components in end time events. We know that they're going to be major players in that end time stage, in the time of the tribulation, and all of those things that are going to go on with the Battle of Armageddon, all of those things that are going to have a part in those things, the Battle of Gog and Magog. And so it's important for us to understand those things. But listen, that doesn't mean that we see them and we get afraid and we hunker down. It means that we get up and we get busy and do more for the Lord. We know what we're supposed to be doing, and we ought to do it. I think that that's interesting. In verse 56, Jesus says, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? You don't understand what I'm here for. You don't understand what I've come to accomplish. You don't understand what's going on with me in my ministry today. You don't understand what's happening. And when you do begin to understand what's happening, then you need to understand and do what is right. Verse 57. Judge what is right. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? These people have been listening to Jesus and they didn't believe him and they certainly didn't obey him. But when you believe him and you understand him, then you must obey him. You've got to judge. You've got to make a decision about what is right. And Jesus gives this illustration or parable, if you will. Now, it's a physical thing. But I got to tell you today, I don't think Jesus was trying to teach them literally about what to do with a magistrate and somebody and an adversary and a judge. He wasn't talking about earthly things. He's using an earthly example to teach a spiritual truth. He's speaking to the people. Remember, when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest or unless he held thee to the judge and the judge deliver thee to the officer and the officer cast thee into prison. Now, I want to tell you tonight what I believe this represents. I believe there's the Lord speaking to those people who didn't believe in him. He's letting them know that they have made themselves adversaries of God. God is their adversary. It is God who stands against us when we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are at enmity with God. We are the enemies of God. We are the children of our father, the devil, when we're not born again, when we haven't trusted Christ. And our adversary is God himself. And he says, listen, as you're going through this life, you better do everything you can. You better make diligence. You better do all that you can to get yourself right with your adversary in the way. Friends, there's a limited amount of time for every person that's born into this world to repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have forever. We're not promised tomorrow. That's why today is the day of salvation. That's why now is the time to repent and believe the gospel. And listen, I don't know, there might be someone here who's never been born again. But I know that there are thousands outside these doors who have never been born again. Tomorrow you're going to see somebody at the store who needs Jesus. You're going to go to school with somebody who needs Jesus. You're going to go to work with people who need Jesus. And they're all around us every day. And I just want to remind you that they have made God their adversary. God is against them and they are against God. And they need to be made right with Jesus today. Because they may not have tomorrow. I want you to know that as we go through this life, we are on our way to the judgment. Jesus Christ is the judge of the quick and the dead. He's the judge of the living, those who have been born again, and the dead, those who have never been born again, those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins. I want you to get it, friends. Every person on this planet is in the way, and at the end of the way is the judge. The magistrate is there. The ruler of all things is there. The judge is there. We're all going to face the judgment one day. Amen. The saved, the judgment seat of Christ, will be judged according to as we've done in our bodies, whether it's good or bad. We're going to give an account before the Lord one day for what we've done with the life He's given us, the time that He's given us, the talents, the treasures, the opportunities He's given us. We're going to give an account one day. We're on our way to the judgment. The lost to the great white throne judgment, where death and hell will be brought up before God. They'll be judged according to the books, the word of God. And whoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Eternal damnation, eternal fire, eternal vengeance of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Where their worm dieth not, the smoke of their torments ascends forever and ever. Mankind has made God their adversary, and He has every right to bring us to the judgment. And we need to give diligence that we are delivered while we're in the way. Would you look at Hebrews chapter 2 with me, please? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Hebrews 2, 14. He says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. That's Jesus. Jesus took part of flesh and blood, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now I want you to get this. When Adam sinned against God in the garden, God had given Adam dominion over everything. But when Adam sinned against God, he relinquished that dominion. He handed it over to the devil. And the devil had the power of death. But Jesus came and won it back when He died on the cross. He destroyed him that has the power of death, that is the devil. In His death, He won it back. And He did that to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The Lord Jesus Christ became flesh. He became one of us to win back and to conquer death. He did it, did you notice? In verse 15, to deliver them. He did it to deliver you. He says in our text that you want to be delivered from your adversary while you're in the way. Well, the only way you're going to be delivered is by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to trust. You have to believe that God became a man, that He put on flesh, that He lived a sinless life, and then He gave that life on Calvary's cross and rose again the third day. You have to trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ if you want to be delivered, and you need to be delivered today. I told you last week about my mom's cousin. We came home on Friday from our trip, and 2 weeks ago now. We came home on Friday. My cousin was in the hospital. They said he's got cancer. It's everywhere. His brother told me, he said, the doctors have said he's got about 4 weeks. We'd been gone and things were really busy. I thought, I'll go see him on Monday. Saturday morning, I got word that he was gone. We hear a prayer request tonight about a little baby that's born and is gone in a day, a few days. Friends, it's got to be real to us. We've got to understand that you need to do diligence. Do diligence so that you can be delivered while you're in the way. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, you need to repent and trust Jesus and be saved tonight. Listen, I don't care if you're 6 or if you're 60. I don't care if you're 8 or you're 98 or anywhere in between. None of us is promised tomorrow. And if the Holy Spirit of God has got a hold of your heart and you know you're not saved, I beg you to be saved tonight. And tomorrow, when you go into your daily life, as you go, make disciples. As you go, take gospel tracts and give them out everywhere. As you go, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone that'll listen. Proclaim it. Preach it. Boldly tell people that Christ died for them. Warn them of the judgment to come. He is the judge. As you're in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I believe God's prison is the lake of fire. The wages of sin is death. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And I want you to notice verse 59. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last might. What's it going to take? It's going to take. I've met some people who are of different persuasions. I witnessed to a Buddhist one time. I've witnessed to some Muslims several times. And I always ask them, how are you going to deal with your sin? And they say, well, I pray all the time. I pray every day. That's great. But how are you going to pay for your sin? And the reason I ask them that question is because in their religion, there is no answer for that. They do good works. They do enough. Maybe somehow they might get into heaven. But the one true God has showed us that there's only one way. There's only one way for us to get to heaven. And I want you to get this contrast. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, one sacrifice for all people for all of time. Once for all. You get that? 33 years, his life on earth. A few hours where he was mocked and beaten and crucified. 3 days he was in the tomb. Are you guys with me right now? It was a very brief moment of time when he suffered and died and was buried and rose again. It was just a little blip in eternity, a little blip in human history. But that's all it took, because his sacrifice was so great. He is so great. His blood so pure, so powerful, so perfect. One sacrifice that he could pay for the sins, not of one man, but for the sins of the whole world. Every human being that's alive today, almost 8 billion people. 8 billion people. And all the people who will live, and all the people who ever have lived, he paid for in his one sacrifice. But unto the people who don't believe, he says, if you don't get right now in the way, you're going to be delivered to the judge, and the judge is going to give it to the officer, one of his angels, and his angels are going to cast you into the lake of fire, and you're going to stay there till you've paid every last mite. How long is that going to take? Forever and ever and ever. Listen to what Matthew Henry said about it. Because he talks a little bit about the sacrifice of Jesus, the price that he paid, and how awesome and powerful and miraculous and wonderful his sacrifice was, and then compares it to the suffering of sinners in hell forever. He says, in the sufferings of damned sinners, what is wanting in value must be made up in an endless duration. You see, Jesus' sacrifice is of infinite value. You and I, without Christ, are of very, very little value. And because our value is so small, those who die without Christ have to pay out their sin debt forever and ever and ever and ever. And you might look at that and say, well, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. But I want to remind you today, when we reject Christ, we trodden underfoot the Son of God. We count him as a cursed thing when we reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he warns the people, you hypocrites, you hypocrites. You can understand the face of the sky, but you don't understand the times. You don't judge what is right, and you better start judging what is right, or you're going to face the eternal judgment of hell. In Acts chapter 10, verse 37, that word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. If you're not right with Jesus tonight, you can be right if you turn from your sin and trust in him. When you go out of this place tonight, friends, if you are right with Jesus, you can help others to be made right with him, because he reconciled us to himself, and he has made us ministers of reconciliation to help those who are adversaries, have made God an adversary. We are to help them to get right with him while they're in the way. Tonight, let's stand together and prepare for an invitation. Do you understand the times that we're in? Do you understand that we're in the last days of the last days? And can you judge what is right? That you know the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know the right thing to do, the right way to live, to be found faithful when he comes. If his Holy Spirit's convicting your heart about anything, you need to be saved tonight. You're saved, but you need to get some things right with Jesus tonight. Whatever it is, if his Spirit's calling, you come right now while we sing.
Page 538.